we're in the middle studies of the end times of the Great Tribulation, probably the worst time upon earth there will be. Malachi chapter 1. Well, let's read verse 1 of chapter 3. Malachi 3 and 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former times. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling, his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and them that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what you're looking forward to. The chief aim in this study is we don't want to go through this great tribulation. We left off last week the arms of the great eagle, where the 144,000 were going to be taken into the wilderness. Many people think that's to be the city of Esau, Petras. After reading Malachi 1, I don't believe it is. Malachi 1 talks about, I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the earth. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished and will not, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build and I will throw down. They ask me, that rules out Petras is the city of Esau. That's just my opinion. Revelation chapter 13. The most talked about by the most people in the world passage is the mark of the beast. I can tell you, we don't know it. Saying is, jury's out on it, and I don't think anybody will know it until that time comes that it's implemented. Verse 1 of Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now it starts, and what I understand, the originals, and he stood upon, they're looking at the wicked one. This chapter, the 13th, of course the 13th is always associated with evil. It's the bad time upon earth, to say the least. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his and great authority. Now there's a seat, there's a person to sit on that seat. This is no figurative seat. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The man of sin suffers a deadly wound, and he's healed. A mock resurrection, that's what it is. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Unrestrained evil upon the world. God, as it were, is taking his hands completely off. you don't want to go through this time on earth, that's for sure. This is the one whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. We read there in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 2 and 8. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's not going to be revealed after we're gone. But we read on there. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This looks to us like one that rejects the gospel before the great tribulation stands no chance of receiving it after the start of the great tribulation. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's very plain. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's election, Brother Joseph's talking about the other day. It's in every chapter. It's there. Strong warning, the rejecter today has no hope later. As I said, this 13th chapter is perhaps the most talked about chapter in Scripture. It talks about the mark of the beast. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell on heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, not the Lord, but the devil, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now don't let nobody tell you that when one believes that God pulls out his pencil and writes their name in, those names were put there from before the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword, he must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Don't resist. It will do you no good. Patience. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Now notice this one comes out of the earth. The other one comes out of the first one come out of the sea. Over in Revelation 17 and 15, it tells us what those seas are. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore setteth, are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's the world. Then we read, and I beheld in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and spake like a dragon. Now there's a lot to say for the Antichrist. The epistles of John talks about Antichrist. There were many in the world. It's in 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, there are those out there that will tell you Christ was the Son of God, but not God the Son. Christ is coming again, and it's the same attitude that denies that. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And what I understand, that word come is coming. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is a spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that should come, and even now it already is in the world. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There are many of them out there. It's not that they don't believe, they're anti. Daniel wrote about this same time. He wrote about the world governments. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Thou sawest that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Those feet and toes are the last, the very last of Daniel's great image. It's also pointing to what we read of in Revelation chapter 17. That's the end of the thing, I guess it'd be one way to describe it. The rock strikes at the feet, the 10 toes, at the very end, at the end of the age. The 10 crowns are the horns that we read of there in Revelation 13. We've also read about them in Revelation 17. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Now, he'd seen these other beasts, the world governments at the time, one time, typified by beasts, but this one, he was very dreadful. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. As I said, this is basically no other way to describe it but hell on earth. What's that identification of these beasts that we're looking at? I should have stayed there. Daniel, he talks about the people of the prince that shall come in Daniel 9:27, a Roman. Let me go back there and make that a little bit clearer. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. The people that came destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD was Rome. So therefore, this man will be a Roman. The people of the prince that shall come. Daniel, as I mentioned, had a vision of four beasts. That same chapter covers their empires, basically. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian. and the Rome, which is what we're still in. The image that Nebuchadnezzar saw had two legs of iron, which is east and west. Makes logical sense. Also there in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36, you see more about this person's conduct. Daniel 11, 36, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper in the indignation till it be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done." This is what time we're, it's all talking about the same time. And I don't believe these days are very far off for any of us in here could see that time. I believe it's sitting near at the door. The four beasts, we could elaborate on them in chapter 8, verse 23 of Daniel. "And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full," notice it always keeps bad things, sin, the worst, unbelief. No, like I say, it's more, these people are anti. "A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." The devil and his angels get kicked out of heaven. "The man of sin suffers a deadly wound and is healed. The devil takes over his body." There you have the wicked leading the earth. Verse 8, chapter 8, Daniel 7. Talks about a he-goat that waxed very great, and when he was strong, a great horn was broken, and it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now, you've heard me say this is Alexander the Goat, but his last kingdom, Seleucus, that's the kingdom in which we are in today. Rome still rules, and we found that out in that last election we had. This is these 10 kings Revelation 7 speaks about, very possibly the revived Roman Empire. Now, I also mentioned it could be these groups that are actually ruling the kingdoms. Some of these kings are puppets. We all know that. Who are they getting their orders from? This beast that comes out of the sea is symbolic, comes from the, not the world, but the one comes up out of the earth, out of the bottomless pit. As Christians, we are to teach Christ and edify the body of Christ, teaching us and others to put on the armor of God. That's who we're facing. There's that time coming when they're going to have free reign and none of us will want to be there. However, there will be books, newspapers, Bibles, newspapers where we come in. These things might be left behind. Perhaps they will be read then. You know, there's some people only understand one language the hard way. That might be what they get. Daniel, as well as John, wrote of the same person. If one's writings are erroneous, they're both wrong. If one's right, they're both right. Getting back to the studying on the number of the beast, well, let's just read on. Verse 13 of chapter 13 of Revelation, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." He's got a lot of power. He's not the all-wise God. But these things, people are going to see them, and they're going to think that that's who they want to worship. They're going to look at all the things that's gone on the earth, and they're going to side with the devil. And deceiveth them that dwell on earth by the means of these miracles which he had power on earth to do, power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he gave, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great or small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You take 500, 100, 50, 10, 5, 1, you come up with 666. There's so many possibilities as far as who this is. Like I say, we leave it alone. We don't plan on being around to see. This is midweek. Now, as I was saying, the identification of these two, this one that comes up from the earth, who is he? The Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, Christ made it plain. I have none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Acts chapter 1 talks about Judas went to his own place. Perdition. We read about there in Revelation 17. Verse 8 of chapter 17. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, that they might, that they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which Rome, the woman, sitteth. And there are seven kings, and five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast which was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which receive no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Like I say, this is a time, it doesn't sound like any time I would want to be alive upon earth. But it's the most talked about. This man, I believe, is the false prophet, possibly Judas, coming out of the bottomless pit, perdition. You can only wonder. We think about this dragon appears to be lamb-like. I mean, wolf in sheep's clothing is what it sounds to me like. This is what we know as the Satanic Trinity. As we know in heaven, John talks about the Trinity. I believe it's the book of Jude. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. the devil is a great counterfeiter. He's going to make a mock resurrection. He's going to have a mock bride, which is the harlot. As I say, he gets killed and comes back to life. Just like Christ had John the Baptist going before him, there's going to be this beast, deceives them by the miracles that he performs. And the sight of the beast saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It's very plain what it says. Nothing like we've ever seen in this world and don't want to see it either. While this is going on upon earth, this is cutting into next Lord's Day's lesson. I was going to do it today. We're going to look at the bride of Christ. While that's going on earth, we'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. Well, this is verse 21. Hebrews 12:21. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are come and to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, to a heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Christ told his sheep, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And the God and judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. What's going on on earth is terrible indeed. But what's going on in heaven? There's the judgment seat of Christ. There's also the marriage of the Lamb. That's going on in the heavens. In Revelation chapter 14, if things are bad on earth at that time, but they're actually going to get worse because they're going to have a climax at a place called Armageddon. Verse 1 of chapter 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, as I said, days of old, kings would put a brand upon their soldiers and upon the citizens. Wasn't nothing unusual in that day. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, that no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. What happens? Many of them possibly are overcome. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are real people, not figurative, not the 144,000 Jehovah's so-called witnesses. They're virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and judgment and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. The 144,000, if they're taken, who's left to preach the gospel? The Lord has always had a witness, sends his angel. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark, his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, who receiveth the mark of his name." How close is this? We're talking about things that are a heartbeat away. They're that near. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in the heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, and her grapes, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by space of 1,600 furlongs, over 200 miles, 6 or 7 feet deep of blood. That's what's coming. In the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter, tells us how it's going to be. Verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." That means all nations. When you take away the godly influence that America has had for years, what's going to be left? There ain't going to be any godly influence. You're going to have wickedness. It's going to end up right over here, right where it says. How's it going to go? "The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity." This sounds like an old medieval time battle. Far worse. You're going to have creatures upon the earth, not going to necessarily be human. Terrible, to say the least. But then, verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in battle, the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half and toward the south." A lot of things going on, but that's the end of the Great Tribulation. Getting back to the Mark of the Beast, all the warfare that goes on during the war in the world during that time is going to destroy all food. So it's going to be closely guarded. You don't eat You have nothing to eat unless you take the mark. That's what's coming. The church, on the other hand, church is not mentioned in Revelation from chapter 4 to chapter 19. The Lord comes back with his saints. We could ask, why is an angel commissioned to preach the last gospel? The 144,000 now seem to be in heaven. What is an everlasting gospel anyway? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, I think it's the right passage. Now, there's a lot of people have their opinion about what the gospel is. The gospel is how Christ lived according to scriptures, died and was buried and rose again. And this is the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations in all the world for witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Christ said there many would say, here I am Christ. Believe them not. I've seen a post on Facebook the other day, something to the lines that all these things that's coming up on the earth, I think we're fixing to see, something like that. Well, they're coming. None of us in our right mind would want to endure them. Anyway, Lord willing, we'll take up with the bride next Lord's Day. We're out of time.